Many of today's most fashion-forward consumers are trading stilettos for sneakers and trousers for t-shirts. Now that comfort can come before constraint, top sports brands like Nike and Adidas have effortlessly reaped the benefits of this streetwear trend. But for rookie activewear brand legends, it took a little more hustle to earn endorsements from celebrity athletes like Steve Nash, Baker Mayfield, and Matt Barnes. Today, we're talking to Legends CMO and co-founder Chip Neff to find out how he's built a brand that everyone who's anyone wants to get behind. I'm your host, Kara Hogan, and this is The Empowered Marketer. The Empowered Marketer is brought to you by Zayus, the CRM that helps you engage your buyers at the exact right moment with the most relevant message. Learn more at Zayus.com. That's Zayus.com. Chip Neff is a seasoned brand builder who has a history of collaborating with influential people. He learned most of what he knows about marketing a D2C apparel brand from his time as VP of marketing at Neff. But a lot has changed since then.
I remember one of our first campaigns like we ever really did with a celebrity was Snoop. And, you know, we did a giveaway through our Facebook page. All you had to do was go like Neff's page, right? And you'll get free beanies type of thing. Like go tell Neff what color you like, and then we'll give you free beanies. And Snoop put it out through his channel to go to like Neff's channel. And I mean, we ended up getting, I want to say something like, you know, 30 or 40,000 followers in like 10 minutes. Just because it was so new, like no one was doing that back then. And this was probably, I mean, this was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, you know? So nowadays it's like giveaways, people do that all day and no one really cares, but it was just so new back then. And it was just, you know, it was unique. So yeah, that's kind of the background. You know, Neff, it grew to, you know, we had over 130 employees and, you know, the company sold a couple of years ago and it's still going and still running. And yeah, it was great. You know, it was a very fun time and obviously taught us and taught me a bunch about D2C and just kind of brands in general.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So it kind of makes sense in a way why you started Legends. I feel like it has a similar vibe to Neff, or to me anyway. But I'd love to hear why you decided to start it, what the brand stands for, and what you think is so interesting about it.
Almost 2 years ago, you know, I met my partner, Scott Hochstad. He had the brand Legends, and he had previously was involved in another business, and he had a non-compete where he could only do socks. So he started Legends as just kind of a sock brand. And, you know, and they were getting some pretty good traction in retail mainly and kind of some online. And, you know, as his time freed up and then when we sold Neff, I joined him. We came together. You know, the whole idea was, you know, we had some good traction in socks, but it was like, hey, let's really take this thing to the next level and kind of build this more athleisure type apparel brand. You know, and there's obviously reasons for doing that. But I mean, I think the idea was just to help kind of, we had a bunch of different relationships with good factories. And, you know, I was really familiar with the apparel space and so is he. So we said, hey, now that both of our kind of non-competes are over, let's team up, join forces and really go after kind of what we were both good at and build an apparel brand that really kind of matches, I guess, what men and people are looking for today.
Who are you kind of building this brand for? Is it buyers like yourself, or do you have like a specific person in mind when you were creating this brand overall?
I think a lot of people who buy our product are, you know, people who are working full time or, you know, care about eating and have good health, but then they also work out. So they're kind of looking for those clothes that they can go to the gym in the morning and then transition into going to work, right? So, and now I think, you know, that 30-year-old guy is a lot more concerned with kind of fit and feel versus a younger consumer is a lot more, you know, I guess cool factor based, or, you know, like it's just what's the latest brand and it's on a cheap cotton t-shirt type of vibe, right? Where an older consumer is more like, how do I look? How does this fit my body? You know, how does it move with me and how does it kind of adjust to my lifestyle? And so, you know, we build clothes at Legends kind of for the everyday guy, whether you work out 5 days a week or 3 days a week. We really focus on building the best product to kind of fit your lifestyle.
And so obviously athleisure and specifically this kind of performance wear is super trendy right now. So how do you differentiate Legends and make the brand stand out?
The big thing for us is, you know, yeah, there's this athleisure trend is definitely massive, right? And obviously started with women. 10 years ago, you know, you never saw a girl wearing yoga pants, right? And now it's, you know, everyone, it's at the gym, but then it's all day at work or, you know, every, you know, my wife, you know, all day. It's, I mean, it's what everyone wears, right? So it's obviously transitioning more into men just because of the comfort level. I mean, wearing a pair of jeans versus, you know, a pair of good yoga pants or, you know, like for us, like, you know, we have kind of our travel pants. It's way different. And the stretchy fabric, kind of the softness of it is just so much better to sit in and wear. I think where we really stand out from everyone else is kind of our, kind of where we started was we have a pretty big partnership with Kobe Bryant's training facility. It's called Mamba Sports Academy. And it's really kind of become like our brand house and our training facility. So the benefit for us is, you know, it's a place where all the top athletes in the world train, and it's located here in Southern California. And it gives us the access to go and really develop products with, you know, some of the top athletes in the world where most brands don't have access to. So, you know, we go in and we kind of build a short and then we test it on the best athletes in the world. And it's really led to big, you know, guys wearing our product. I mean, guys like, you know, Baker Mayfield or, you know, Deshaun Watson or Saquon Barkley. I mean, big athletes who are top athletes in the world who really can put the product through a test. We're really able to kind of test our product and see how it performs on those guys, which, you know, they're the ones kind of at the top of the, I guess, top of the food chain, I guess you could say, where if it's performing for them, it would definitely perform for a guy like me, right, who works out a few times a week and you know, just wants something that fits nice and performs well.
Yeah. How do you choose which athletes and, you know, different celebrities you want to work with? And is it really just whoever wants to test the product and who works out at this facility? Or do you have more rigorous selection process?
We're definitely selective on who we actually partner with. I think from a product testing standpoint, you know, there's a bunch of guys that we test product on that are, you know, the NFL combine guys, right? Or NBA draft guys, you know, who are kind of moving their way up and have obviously proven themselves a great amount and are tremendous athletes. So we do a lot of product testing there. And then as far as partnerships go, yeah, we're selective, you know, on athletes, just making sure that they kind of fit the brand, that they match the brand. And I think there's a huge trend obviously nowadays where you pay influencers, right, to come in and post about your brand and talk about your brand. And obviously as consumers are a lot more savvy than they used to be, right? People can see through that. So I think, you know, we try to partner with athletes and, you know, a great example is a guy like Baker Mayfield, who, you know, is one of the most exciting NFL athletes right now, right? You know, he came in and we started kind of giving him some product and working with him, became friends with him. And instead of, you know, I guess doing a deal with him, he was willing to kind of invest in the company and put money in the company because he believed in it, right? So I think that's really what sets us apart too, is we don't look to just go out and buy all these athletes and say, hey, just wear our product, which is, you know, a lot of the big guys now, I mean, traditionals, I mean, it's all, you know, Nike and all those guys. I mean, that's all it is, right? It's, you don't really care what brand it is. It's whoever pays the most is kind of who you sign with. So, you know, we've tried to create kind of a more grassroots and develop product with these athletes that they actually love and care about. So yeah, we're definitely selective on where we go and who we work with.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense to me. I've recently been talking about whether influencer marketing is going to slow down. And yeah. It feels like it is a little bit. It feels like from a couple of years ago where you would just pay somebody to use your product and talk about your products. And now people kind of see through that a little bit more. And it seems like it's becoming a little less effective.
So that's why we try to build more partnerships, less endorsements. And I think that's what people see through, right? It's like, hey, I'm an influencer and I post about a toothbrush today and then a hair gel tomorrow and then a sock the next day and gum the next day, right? I mean, people see through and just know, you know, there's no way they're that involved with all those brands, where we've been more selective and we try to we try to get people into the brand and kind of grow with them. So, you know, another, we did a collection with Luka Modric, who, you know, he's a Croatian football player, but he plays for Real Madrid. He's one of the biggest soccer players in the world. He just won FIFA Player of the Year last year. So he's a massive athlete, right? One of the biggest in the world, you know, has what, over 20 million, you know, Instagram followers. And, you know, he was interested in the brand and we kind of partnered with him and developed a sock collection with him. And, you know, it was kind of one of those where we worked hand in hand and it turned out where it was cool just because, you know, he was super into socks and we kind of were able to put a lot of time into it and grew that way. And that was one that was, you know, successful and really worked well. So I think consumers are definitely savvy, right? I mean, it's just everyone knows the game now pretty much. Where back in the day, it was a lot, it was people didn't know. And so I think you really have to be strategic with who you partner with and how you position it in the market.
And now a quick word from one of our sponsors. You know, when you go to a website and you just want one thing, it should be simple, quick, friendly even. That's Intercom's motto. So consider this their invitation to businesses to step it up with messaging in the moment. Intercom makes that little chat bubble in the corner of a website. That's their messenger. It opens your business up to customers in a quick and friendly way. But it doesn't stop there. Intercom extends your team with conversational bots and guided tours inside your products. Take Intercom's success story, Unity. Before using Intercom, visitors kept abandoning their site. Unity just couldn't answer people quickly enough. The Intercom Messenger helped Unity get proactive with their visitors. And in just 12 months with Intercom, Unity got 45% more customers. That's Intercom's whole deal, connecting you to customers when it's best for you both. Give your customers the one thing they're looking for and get your best revenue channel yet. Go to intercom.com/podcast, then see everything else Intercom can do. That's intercom.com/podcast. And now back to our wonderful interview. So besides working with celebrities and, you know, athletes and different influencers, what are some other marketing channels that have had a really big impact on Legend's growth? What else are you investing in right now?
We're still, you know, we're pretty heavy direct to consumer focus. So it's the standard kind of, I guess, growth channels, right? Through obviously Facebook and Instagram is a big one for us, getting our message out there and being able to kind of put our products in front of consumers. You know, email obviously is big for us still. It's, you know, it's a good one. We have a pretty big database because what we really like to do is not just be, you know, solely online. We have a bunch of grassroots events that we do. So in the last 18 months, we've held, let's see, probably close to 30 to 40 different events, whether it's lacrosse events, basketball, football, baseball type, you know, tournaments and events where we outfit a bunch of teams in Legends gear and you know, we pop up a tent and we're kind of face to face with the consumer, you know, so we really like people to get out and touch and feel the product and educate them that way. So, you know, it helps kind of grow our database and helps us reach more customers. And then about 5 months ago, we opened up our first retail location in downtown Manhattan Beach in California. So that's been great, right? It's another one of those where, you know, it's a different ballgame than obviously online, but it's great because people come in and they feel everything. And obviously that's one of the biggest, you know, things you don't get online is being able to touch and feel the product. And with apparel, that's obviously one of the biggest things, especially when you're selling higher ticket items. You know, it's like, are people willing to buy a $70 short through a Facebook ad? Obviously it works a lot, you know, but it's really nice when you're able to feel it because it justifies that cost. And so it's been great. So I think for us, it's continuing, you know, the D2C channels and then, you know, and then working with kind of strategic partnerships we have with more, you know, more gyms and kind of, more athletic based kind of facilities.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you measure the success of something like opening a retail store or doing these kind of events? You know, what do you look for to say that was a good idea? We should continue to do that and invest more.
I mean, the basics, obviously, of just trying to break even, right? Like if, you know, there's standard costs from rent and, you know, employee costs to run the store, you know, that's obviously one of the bigger indicators. But you know, which has been great for us because we've been able to do that. And, you know, we've been able to kind of build strategic retail partnerships, I would say that way. The other one is just the halo effect of the brand, right? Which is crazy hard to measure. I mean, how do you know, you know, like it's the first touch point, right, to attribution, which is very hard. So, but I think, you know, it's great for the community too. We love kind of giving back to the community, and the name spreads pretty fast in Manhattan Beach, and a lot of people, you know, become aware of it. So there's kind of that halo effect. And then, you know, we try to obviously capture data and email addresses from people so we can, you know, give them discounts and kind of move them towards the shopping funnel. And then on the grassroots level, like events, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of that is just kind of giving back to youth sports. You know, and that's, I played sports growing up and, you know, and in college, and my partner, Scott, you know, he was one of the top lacrosse athletes, you know, in the United States, and he's super influential in that space. So we both kind of grew up through the ranks of sports and athletics, and we just try to give back. So I think that one's another one where instead of getting a generic kind of cheesy uniform that most kids get, right, we'd really like to go above and beyond and design, like, it looks like you're walking out in a, you know, an NBA uniform or an NFL uniform. So something super nice, which makes you feel better and in the hope inspires kids to train and just become better versions of themselves.
And do you have any, you know, surprising stories of things that you tried in growing this brand that you weren't sure were going to work and did, and you were like, oh, that's interesting?
I mean, a lot of product we launch, right? It's some of those where you develop it in house and you're like, man, this is the coolest, the dopest product ever, right? This thing's going to crush. And then you put it up and it's kind of like, oh, it does okay, right? And then there's the other ones where you're like, ah, should we throw it up? I mean, it's, you know, I think it'll do good, but we didn't order a lot of product. It was more of a smaller run. And then it's something that resonates with the consumer and sells out instantly, right? So I think those are, you know, with being a D2C brand, you're able to test and look at data, which obviously helps kind of predict, and which is a lot different than the retail mentality, because that's all, you know, you're dealing with POs and showing line sheets and then placing POs, and it's more the retailers predicting, less consumer. So, you know, I think that's always surprising, but I would say, like, we partnered with the rap group Migos. So Quavo, you know, he's one of the front men of the group in the Migos, and, you know, he's obviously massive through social and has a big following. But, you know, I think we were super surprised with him on how much power and, I guess, influence he had kind of in the whole sports world. You know, partnering with him, we were able to really reach out to more athletes and more artists, you know, to really get our name out there and kind of and position ourselves as a premier brand. So, you know, I wouldn't say that was shocking because he's so massive and big, but it was definitely one of those validating factors where it was like, oh yeah, that was a good move. That was a good idea, right? Like it really helped move the needle and set us apart from just like another guy online selling, you know, shorts or apparel, you know?
Yeah, worth the investment.
yep, for sure.
So how much influence do the people you collaborate with have on the direction of the products you're developing? How do you decide what to put out next or what should be the next thing that you make?
We really look at function, right? If you think of, you know, what do you do throughout the day? What type of products do you wear throughout the day? We look and kind of try to build a base assortment of products that will cover like everyday functions. So, you know, the guys that we're targeting, they wake up, they want to go to the gym, right? So we try to create products that fit their lifestyle. So the best short, the best top, the best socks, you know, so we build kind of those baseline items to make sure we're covering everything you need to make sure your activity goes the best you could, right? And then they transition to work. So it's like, you know, developing products that you can wear, not just in the gym, but also, you know, in your office, and making sure you're comfortable and you have kind of the best, most elevated, fabric. So, we really look at like that technical side. And then, yeah, with athletes and ambassadors, a lot of it is based on, you know, things they've seen. So guys coming in and saying, hey, this is a short that I've really liked, but I wish it did this, right? Or, man, if it was had this little, you know, other pocket or this other thing, then it would be that much better. So, you know, we sit with them and we start to develop products with them based on their feedback. And it's been great. I mean, I think some of our best selling products have come from insight like that, right? Where, man, this is a great short, but it's a little tight in the thighs. So we adjust, some of the fit, and then it resonates really well with our audience. So we really try to build our products based on feedback versus what we like and what we think will sell, which I think is the benefit of D2C, right? Is you can kind of test and iterate a lot faster than you could if you were doing the retail model.
Yeah. And how do you keep that feedback loop really, tight and continuously get feedback from your customers? Do you do like surveys, or do you, send emails asking for reviews? What tactics do you use to get that feedback?
A mixture of things. I mean, we definitely send emails, right, to get reviews and ask kind of feedback from our customers. So it's, it's a standard process. When someone buys a product, you send out, the review request type emails for more feedback and, and how can we improve our products. We also do kind of focus groups where we invite people in who have worn the brand and kind of get their feedback in person, which is always nice because, even through reviews are great, right? But it's like people are writing three sentences where when you can sit down and talk to someone, for 20, 30 minutes about a product, you obviously get a lot more insight. So we do focus groups. We also partner with some gyms where, we partner with their athletes and their trainers, and we give them product to really test, and give feedback on. So they come out and they're using the product every day in a really kind of, hard fashion, I guess, because they're, they're super athletic and that's what they do for their jobs. So, they give us great feedback, and that's where we can iterate before we go to the full production process, is get insights into that and then really know like, hey, let's tweak this because, these four trainers said this. That helps a ton into our design process. And, we just try to be as open. None of us have egos, and we're just trying to make product so people are happy and try to inspire people along the way. So any feedback from anyone is welcome. And as long as it's fits in line and it's, it makes sense, then we definitely put it into our design process.
That's awesome. So I also noticed that charity seems like it's a big part of your brand. You just hosted this recent charity basketball event. You mentioned that you do different other kinds of events, but why is this so core to the brand?
We're all just trying to be good people and have a good life, and I think it's selling product and building a brand is obviously one thing that's fun and it's where we spend our time, but every guy just wants to have a good day and be happy, right? And I think by part of that is giving back and giving back to customers and consumers in the end is really what matters. So even we do consistently a bunch, Steve Nash, the NBA legend, I guess you could call him for sure. He was one of our original investors. He put money in first, one of the first guys to put money in the brand. And he's a huge guy into giving back into youth sports and helping kind of underprivileged youth. And so we do a bunch of events with him and giving back. We did one just recently. It's the safe place for youth. So, we designed a bunch of socks with all the kids, and we give them back their socks that they've designed, and we print them and give them back. And then we, donate a whole bunch of socks to kids and underprivileged youth, to help. Cause, socks are, the studies have said, right, socks is at like, homeless shelters or underprivileged youth. That's one thing that people don't ever get. And you always like a clean pair of socks, right? So it ties in great. And, we always try to give back that way. So, we've always been tied into charity. And then, this whole event we just did with Quavo and Honcho, which is kind of his brand and his name. We partnered with Kobe Bryant's facility, the Mamba Sports Academy. And we partnered with the foundation side. So his whole foundation gives back to youth sports and goes to fund people who aren't able to, play like they obviously just want to get into youth sports. So it enables them to have an opportunity to play. So it was an amazing event. We had a crazy amount of, spectators and consumers come out, but then we had a massive amount of influencers came in and played in the game, which was awesome. It just helps build awareness for the foundation and really kind of obviously raise funds to give back to the foundation too. So, the event was wild. It was crazy. I mean, we had our rosters were pretty big. It was Team Quavo versus Team 2 Chainz. They were kind of the two captains. We had, guys like, Snoop played in it. You know, we had like Diplo, we had, let's see, Floyd Mayweather played in it, YG. I mean, we had a big roster of guys, you know, a big roster of athletes, King Batch, Logan Paul, Jake Paul. You know, there was a lot of followers, I guess you could say, in the building. And it was cool. It was a really cool just event where everyone could come together, have fun, play basketball, and in the end, just help give back to youth sports.
I'm sure that was a ticket everyone was fighting over too.
That sounds great. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, leading up, you know, I've done events before, but that was definitely the wildest, just because, yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, when you get that many people, like that many, I guess, you know, bigger influencers or celebrities, it's just the day before the event was madness. You know, it was we were all just getting, our phones were blowing up just nonstop trying to get people in, and organizing was crazy. So, but yeah, it was fun. In the end, it was fun. It's always very stressful, you know, and execution's crazy. But you know, in the end, it was fun, and it was a great event for everyone. And we were able to raise a good amount of money to give back to the foundation.
That's great. So now I'm going into some of the fun questions I like to ask everybody that comes on the podcast.
Yeah.
So tell me about a time that you failed, and what did you learn from that?
You know, we developed a product that we all thought was gonna crush, right? And we put a lot into it, a ton of design. And it was one of those products we were designing, I guess, for ourselves, it seemed like. And when we brought it in, we brought a lot of units in and we launched it. And I think it just didn't resonate like we thought it would, right, with the consumer. And it really taught us a lesson that, hey, let's be a lot smarter about who our customer is and who our consumer is and what they're looking for. And, you know, just because you think something will sell doesn't mean it will, right? So, and it led to us being a lot more data driven, where we were able to, you know, focus on data more, less just kind of what we thought would work. And it taught us, you know, to focus on kind of what we're good at and stay in our wheelhouse and what our customer's looking for versus, you know, let's build something that we think would work versus we know will work kind of thing.
Yeah. I think everyone's had a similar experience no matter what product they're creating.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No, it's true. I mean, yeah, it's very true. And it was the same. I mean, even, you know, at Neff, you know, my last brand, it was the same. I mean, yeah, we did a bunch of products that, you know, it was the same. Like, you think will hit, but they don't. And then the ones that you don't think do hit, you know. So it's hard to tell. But, for you know, luckily being D2C focused, we have a lot of data and feedback from customers.
Mm-hmm. And so on the flip side, I'd love to hear about something that went really well, that was a big success, a marketing campaign, or just something that you were really excited about.
Yeah. You know, Luka Modric, the whole collection we did with him was, I think, eye-opening for us, just because, you know, he's overseas and a lot of his followers are obviously overseas. You know, soccer's massive, a lot bigger over in Europe than it is here in the United States, right? So we developed a collection with him, but I think we were surprised to see how well it resonated with customers even here in the States. You know, we sold a ton overseas and also did really well here. So I think that was surprising, just because we didn't know, you know, necessarily how well or how big it would be. You know, I mean, obviously he's a massive athlete, but it just was kind of surprising to see how big of a draw he even had here in the States. And, you know, we kind of thought it would do really well overseas, but here it was surprising to really see his pool and I guess just how much, you know, people love soccer here in the States and actually follow and know who he is and interact with him.
Yeah, I think soccer is definitely getting bigger here, at least in my experience anyway. Where do you think the future of e-commerce is heading, specifically around marketing? And what does the future look like for Legends?
I think the future of e-commerce, you know, I think, like I was saying, I think consumers are a lot smarter than they were, you know, or just they're getting so much more used to e-commerce brands. So to be a brand, it's just a lot more competitive now than it used to be. So you really have to like stand for something and live up to it. It's tough now just to be able to, it's hard just to launch a product and not really, and just sell, right? I mean, back in the day, I used to sell a bunch of stuff on Amazon's a good example. I used to sell a ton of like random items through Amazon. You know, you could launch a weird product, put your own logo on it and completely crush, right? Where now, you know, it's people care about quality. They care about, you know, what's your give back? Like what's the brand actually mean? So I think as the bigger brands and as they continue to grow in the future, it's more, You know, does your messaging really resonate with people, and how true do you maintain to it? And then also the touch points. I think the opening up like kind of some strategic retail locations where people can come and see the brand and kind of feel what the brand means, I think is very important. So that's why we always try to focus on, you know, creating grassroots events or giving back to different charities, or kind of letting people interact with the brand, not just online. And then, you know, the focus, I think, still of video and content. So we all know, I mean, people just consume video like nothing else, right? Online and content. So it's how do you create good content that talks about a brand and interacts with the brand in a meaningful way. And it's less just viral content. It's kind of like viral content with a purpose, I think. So how do you create that where it's content that gives back to people or gives them something in return versus, you know, just like a funny video? Cause I think, you know, those can get tons of views, but they don't really resonate to sales or to conversion. So it's building that type of content to get people into the brand and really explain, you know, what the brand means and how does it benefit a consumer, and less about like the brand boasting about themselves. And, you know, the hope for us now is to continue to just build out more products, right? So, you know, we have a bunch of new products dropping for this holiday that, you know, are more focused on kind of the everyday guy. So whether it's going to work or, you know, being at home or whatever you do kind of fits your lifestyle. And, you know, for us, it's about creating more partnerships and building more, I guess, building our brand continually through connecting with customers in a more meaningful way. So, you know, potentially opening up a couple more retail locations and building it that way.
To learn more about Legends, visit them online at thelegendsbrand.com or on Instagram at Legends. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and I'll see you lovely humans again in 2 weeks.